Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Welcome to Clark and the Coach. Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick with you on a Wednesday here from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios as we continue our preseason of Clark and the Coach. Opening day for us, Bruce, is Monday.
Monday morning.
You know what? We're going to be
sellout crowd.
We're going to be like one of those businesses that has a soft opening, has all that stuff going on, and then you know, 2 weeks after you know they're there already, they say, oh, this is our grand opening. Yeah, that'll be Monday for us. But yeah, Clark and the Coach, talking prep sports, talking a little bit of college, a little bit of pro sports as well. And today, it's going to be fun. Retired athletic director, longtime basketball coach. And listen to the schools, folks. We're talking Eastern Washington, Loyola Marymount. Steve Aggers, good friend of yours, is going to be on talking about college basketball and maybe the differences he's seen in 25 years.
Yeah, and added assistant jobs, Pepperdine, Kansas State to that list. Just a wealth of information from Steve Aggers, and knows a lot of these coaches that are still coaching and maybe a little ones that have recently retired.
Sure.
And what are those reasons for some retirement from college coaches these days?
Especially in a profession where you see coaches coach into their 80s. You know, some of them. So, why do some come and go? Mark Crabtree, a former University of Louisville golf coach who kind of took that golf program to new heights. You have a relationship with this guy as well.
Well, I've met Mark briefly. I've known Mark for a while.
Sure.
Just kind of made a reconnection last week and just some interesting conversation. Want to talk to him about some of his former golfers, guys on the, you know, the European tour right now. What goes on with college golf coaching?
I'm very interested in that too. How prepared are high school golfers when they come to college golf? I mean, is that where you learn 98% of what you're going to be as a pro if you're going forward? To me, golf is such a mental game. Where do you learn that? Where do you start to figure out, you know, the mental aspects of golf? I'm sure you have to learn it early, but where does it kick in? Where does it? Because to me, it's one of the games where between the ears is where you can win and lose.
Yeah, exactly. And Mark's unique too, as he's starting to compete again himself as a golfer. On senior events and things like that, and just anxious to hear, you know, what takes place, his practice regimen when you get to that age. Still a young guy, but to go out and practice 3-4 hours a day,
sure,
that's a commitment.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And final segment, quarter four, Kobe Bishop, who was a first-team All-Stater, won a state title, left-handed pitcher at Resurrection Christian years ago, went to Augustana College there, and now he is going to be playing for the Kane County Cougars, which is a professional league. I'm trying to get where this fits, and you said probably fits near like double A.
Yes, they have former major league players on the team.
Okay.
A lot of guys that have been in AAA, AA, and with the realignment of the minor league system and the cutting of a lot of prospects, a lot of teams, teams like the Kane County, they're kind of flourishing right now. Great league. They travel to outside of Dallas, Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll have to kind of get the scoop, you know, a little bit from Kobe. What I love about this young man is his perseverance. Went to Concordia. Went to NJC, graduated at Wagner College.
So that's
in
my
New
question
York.
For him. How do you make a jump from NJC in Sterling all the way to Wagner College in New York? What happens there?
Yes, and I know he'll have some interesting comments and stories. But fun guys, dedicated to their sport, and anxious to speak to him.
All right, we have some great sponsors on the program, folks. We're going to talk, and as we kick open our debut show on Monday, we'll talk a bunch more about these guys. But Quality Well and Pump, they've been with me a long time. They'll be a great sponsor on this program going forward. Gould Parts as well, longtime sponsor, of course, of Preps Rewind on Saturdays. Mosier Funeral Service, they've been with me for a long time, too. So great sponsors there. Another one, Advanced Roofing Technologies, Brad Evans, talking about great roofers. when you get one you can trust and does a great job and gets in and out, in budget, on time, you put a circle around it. That's what Brad Evans does at Advanced Roofing Technologies. You
I can tell
me for sure.
I have an experience with Brad Evans, absolutely. You know, Brad did some work at Resurrection Christian when I was the athletic director there. But my personal relationship with Brad, you know, when you have a house that needs a roof, you're swamped with different people coming in and out. Well, Brad took care of our roof, and it was immaculate. From the time that they came out to just take a look into completion, they were nothing but professional. Brad's on top of everything. And, wow, we couldn't have asked for a more pleasant experience getting a house re-roofed.
Boy, that's exactly, experience is the name of the game. And you can get it. Advanced Roofing Technologies, great sponsor on Clark and the Coach. All right, we've got a few minutes before we get to Steve Aggers here. And I'm sitting here last night thinking, I've been talking to people about this. I've got a bunch of friends who are ex-referees and you know, guys who are still in the mix, too. And shot clock came up, and that's something that's always, in my 15 years of calling high school basketball letter, we've never had a shot clock. I haven't seen a lot of times where it's come into play where I go, boy, I wish we had a shot clock. I can say the times that it has, though, it's agonizing to sit there and watch a team just hold the basketball and try to even up a game that on paper probably isn't that close. I'm guessing, and I know that I've mentioned this to you before, but I think absolutely you're in favor of a shot clock. But I've got questions about in a time where referees are already hard enough to get to come to play, to referee, to stay with us. The young guys coming up as the older guys are falling out. We're a paucity of referees, and two, what about the costs for the individual schools to have a shot clock out there too? Can we make this happen? Is this something that in high school basketball that's going to be in the future?
I think it will be in the future. Most coaches are totally in favor of a shot clock.
Sure.
Okay. Some of the reasons you mentioned, expense is probably the biggest detriment as why, you know, Colorado high schools haven't adopted or
sure.
The National Federation as a nation has adopted. But there's several states, California.
I was going to say, I think California has shot clock.
Plays with a shot clock.
Are we talking 30, 35? Where do they go? NBA, of course, 24. College sits at, what, 30?
I think it'd be advantageous to go with the college game.
Right.
Okay. That's my opinion. You mentioned referees. I think, Clark, that's a cop-out. There's three
really?
Guys. I think there's three guys out there. I don't think there's that much stress on just adding a shot clock. Now,
sure.
You have to add possibly a person to keep that clock.
Yep. Another
expense. Okay. You have to buy the clocks. Another expense, you know, so I think it's an expense issue, but California, whose educational system is not, you know, tops
sure.
among nation, they play with it, and I think it's going to be here in the future. How soon? It comes up every year.
I'm sure it does.
On surveys and questionnaires.
How much does that change a coach and your coaching duties? When you have to be a little bit more desperate to get the play going, it's not even in the conversation now. It's not how fast you initiate your offense. I used to play with coaches that would say, "I want 10 touches before we go to the bucket." You know, I want everybody to touch the basketball before we back cut and get to the bucket. You put a shot clock in. Does it change the way you coach your team in the half court setting?
80% no.
Okay.
No changes. No changes. If you look at the average possession offensively in high school basketball, it's well below shot clock.
It is. Okay.
It's well below shot clock. You know, the days of 10 passes, cuts to the baskets diminished greatly. What diminished that, I think, was back in the late 80s when the three-point line came in. You know, that changed the game
biggest
immensely.
Change in basketball history is that three-point line?
I think in high school basketball, our history anyway, is probably the 3-point line.
I'm not going back to the bucket,
jump ball,
the buckets and the people. The backboard probably is the biggest thing, because remember in the olden days when they had the wooden buckets up there, people would come to the stadium with a stick and they would poke the ball away. So that's why they put a backboard up to begin, to keep the morons out from knocking the ball away with a big long stick.
And you had plenty of time back then to set up your defense.
That's exactly right.
Now there's nets that maybe stick a little with the balls that slow it down, things like that. But the officials will quickly take care of that and get those nets straightened out as well. But speaking of officials, we are in a little bit of an official crisis, and we don't want to add anything to their plate. But I don't think the shot clock is something that they would detract from.
Right. And I want to talk about this. We're going to have a show that we just do that's on officiating. We've got Larry Lawhead out here. I think he's going on 37 years as a baseball umpire out here, college and high school. But basketball officials and all that stuff. I want to talk about the ways to get the young guys to come back out and start taking. And I don't think it's players and coaches that are giving these guys hard times. I think it's the fans. I think it's the parents at the younger levels, too, that just feel like they've got the right to say anything they want when they paid their buck and a half. And it's just absolutely new referees now say, is it worth it? Am I getting the compensation? And it's never really about money, maybe at a very small extent. But we've got to find a way to get these guys back in the game, because you got to have referees. I mean, you got to have them.
And, maybe as a former coach athletic director, Steve Aggers might have a comment on that as well.
Absolutely. Speaking of Steve Aggers, retired from his athletic director job at West Los Angeles College, but 25 years coaching college basketball. We'll talk to him when we come back, and this will be fun. Clark and the coach, it's Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick here from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios on a Wednesday morning. Back in a moment on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK. All righty, welcome back to Clark and the Coach here on a Wednesday in Northern Colorado. And we get to it now. Bruce Dick, who, of course, sits next to me for the last 8 months doing games out here, basketball, baseball. Going to have to put a recorder on you when you're out on the court at Fort Collins next year, because you're not going to be sitting next to my side, but we'll get you on. Great friends with Steve Aggers, who's going to jump on with us right now. Steve, longtime college basketball coach, 25 years, and we'll go through the litany of teams that he's coached with, and also was athletic director at West Los Angeles College. Now retired from all that stuff, but he's the guy we want to go to for a lot of thoughts in the history, or at least his history of college basketball, the changes, all that good stuff. Steve, are you up on the line?
I'm here. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you, too. Bruce is going to put you in the hot seat and give you some questions here, but I'm really, really interested to hear what you have to say. Always, always want to sit back and listen to somebody who's been in the business 25 years as a head coach out there. I'm interested in the differences you've seen in those 25 years and how that presents, how that's problematic, and how that's, there's got to be some great innovations in those 25 years, too. But let's have Bruce lead off with a few questions. And welcome to the hot seat.
Well, good morning, Coach. How you doing, man? And first of all, how's the golf swing? Are we progressing through that injury a little bit?
Well, I do know that Father Time is undefeated, and my shoulder is slowly healing. I'll be back on the golf course soon.
Well, I want to play you before it's healed, because that's the only way I can compete with you. So anyway,
don't count on me giving you any stress.
Yeah, I need a lot. But Coach, we've talked about a lot of the changes going on from when you stepped aside as a college coach and even as athletic director at your junior college. But we're dealing with so many things right now. We're dealing with the transfer portal. We're dealing with now kids being to use their image, for profit. What are the things that stand out to you that's good for the game and bad for the game?
Well, Well, Bruce, actually, I was a college coach for 35 years and 1 year in the pros, so I've seen a lot in that time period, and both good and bad, and I've kind of come to the conclusion over recent years that anything that benefits the student-athlete, I'm all in favor of. So to address the first one, the transfer portal, that's totally different than anything I ever encountered as a college coach. It's good in the fact that it benefits students who may want to transfer because they're unhappy with their playing time, or they're disenfranchised with the relationship of the coaching staff, or maybe they went to Institution A and the style of play didn't meet what they thought it was going to be. So giving them an opportunity to transfer without having to sit out a year is a good thing. The downside of that, I think, is from a coach's perspective, is it's hard to keep a group or a core together for 4, even 5 years. If you look at the success Gonzaga's had, it's mainly because, well, number one, Mark's a great coach and has a good friend, but it's because they've been able to keep players together. Corey Kispert was a 4-year starter. And then there's other schools that, you know, has benefited by getting transfers. And so there's a lot of different ways to do it. But if you're a coach and you work really hard to develop a player as a freshman, and then all of a sudden his buddies are going to a different school, or his girlfriend transferred somewhere, and he can just put his name into the transfer portal and leave, it really hurts you as a coach in developing your team.
Right. Now,
those would be two perspectives, I guess, on the transfer portal. And I don't know how many of your listeners know, but there's probably 1,700 different players' names in the transfer portal today.
Yes. And compared to when the transfer portal first came about, you would see a few hundred, maybe. Correct?
Yes. Correct. Yeah. So it's really caught on, and I think it's a good thing. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to be managed. Maybe the other positive for coaches, it's a great way to recruit. You've got an automatic group of players and their names in a database that you can go to. Maybe you remembered them 2 years ago when they were in high school, and now you're going to go back and supposedly re-recruit them. So that's a good thing for coaches, I think.
Sure. Coach, you were an assistant coach for major programs. You were a head coach, and you did have an opportunity to coach in, I believe it was the D-League, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. That level of play, Coach Dick, it was 50 games, NBA rules, players between the ages of 21, 22 to probably 32, highly motivated, and I loved it. It's really an exciting style of play. The NBA rules are so much different than collegiate, and I enjoyed it a lot. The only problem for me is that it was basically a 5-month job and hard to break in from there into the NBA unless you were a player at that level. So I got out of that and went into athletic director.
Yeah, and tell us about being an athletic director in Los Angeles. 10 years, right?
Yeah, I was there 7 years. So I loved it. It was an opportunity for me to go from the coaching ranks to an administration role where I felt I could help both student athletes and coaches. West Los Angeles is a 2-year community college in Culver City, next door to Sony Studios.
Wow.
And we had about 12,000 students and probably 200 student athletes. Lauren Moon, you may be familiar with that name, played football at our school, and Keyshawn Johnson played football at our school. So I really enjoyed it. I felt like I was helping a lot of young people chase their dreams and get from a collegiate level, let's say a community college, and then transfer to a 4-year school. So I really enjoyed that. I also thought I was very helpful to a lot of young coaches in improving their skills.
Well, Coach, just our conversations together, you are truly one of the good guys that was in my eyes, a big-time college basketball coach. I'd see you at the Final Four, and there was always people around you, and you always had the student athlete in mind, and you're just to be commended for that on such a great career and helping kids out. And we appreciate your time this morning. And one last thing. Any unique recruiting situation that you endeavored in those 35 years of coaching?
That would probably take about two hours.
We don't have that much time.
Review those. So first of all, just let me say thank you for your time and to go on the show with you guys. And I appreciate the kind words. I was blessed to have a wonderful career via higher education. I always considered myself as a teacher first and a coach. And those almost 42 years in education and coaching were great for me. I think if I told you a couple of recruiting stories, I might be stepping on somebody's toes or saying some things I probably shouldn't say. But it's certainly one of the things, I got to be honest with you, I do not miss in retirement. Is recruiting is such a demanding thing, and it takes a lot of your time. It's a 12-month, 7 days a week, hard on families. So anyway, that's my take on it.
All right. Well, that's for another time.
Steve, thank you very much for jumping on with us this morning, and wish you continued good luck and enjoy retirement, all that good stuff, okay?
I appreciate the kind words. Have a good day.
You bet. There's Steve Aggers, a long time. Nice to get in the head of a long time college basketball coach. He said 35 years. So yeah. That's pretty fun stuff right there. All right. Clark and the coach, Clark and Bruce, come back in a moment. Continue here with our program from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios on a Wednesday morning here in Northern Colorado. Folks, you want to text in, text KFKA to 970-478-1301. Just do that the first time, then you're in the group and you can pick up. Let us know, just if you're a high school fan, who are you rooting for? Why? What's going on in your athletic department? You want to tout a team maybe that's at your school? Give us a shout, or you want to talk about what our current topic is? Text KFKA to 970-478-1301. We'll come back in a moment. Clark and the coach in a moment, and Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. All righty, welcome back. 11:36 on a Wednesday morning. Clark and the coach, Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick, in with you on a, as we said, on a Wednesday here from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. As I said, going to break, folks, give us a text. Let us know what school you're for, anything you want to see. Just yell at us. You can do that. Text KFK to 970-478-1301 or... give Angel a call. Angel back behind the glass there, producing the show. Get the Gould Apart text line at 970-353-1310. And you're on the line with us. Right now, up on the line with us, I love the connection. Former Lobo, former Colorado State Ram golf coach, former University of Louisville golf coach, Mark Crabtree jumps up on the phone with us right now. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Bruce is going to put you in a hot seat. He's got a million questions for you here, and I've got a few. I think golf is the hardest game in the world to play. I think it's the greatest game. I want to ask you, first of all, I think golf was a saving grace at the end of the pandemic. So many people needed to get out and do something, and I think getting out to the golf courses that opened early and were there for us, that might have saved many mental breaks. Might have caused a few mental breakdowns, but I think it saved us. I think it was huge. Golf is just a tremendous game. I know that you're in the same boat.
Yeah, I would agree, absolutely. During the tough times that we were having with the pandemic, more people were able to get outside and enjoy the game of golf, even play more golf. Golf courses were the beneficiary of that. And because of that, I think you saw people with more positive approaches and attitudes.
Sure.
Sometimes our scores weren't quite as good. You know, expectations are are tough to manage sometimes in the game of golf, but it was so nice to be able to see people out on the golf course.
Mark, hey, welcome, and it was great making a connection with you last week, and we visited a lot, but, you know, I'm going to start most recent. Being the head coach for the Louisville Cardinals so many years, you had to have so many experiences with that athletic department, but, man, you took a program and then ended up winning Big East titles. You had players ready to conquer, and stepped aside, you know, retired. But tell us about some of those accomplishments with Louisville.
Well, first off, I have to compliment my boss, Tom Jurich. You know, he was the AD at Colorado State, and he's the one that that hired me to go to the University of Louisville and be a part of his team. And so I would never have gotten to wherever I would have gotten in coaching without the support of a tremendous leader and an AD like him. And then what he allowed me to do was move forward in every aspect of the program. There were no restrictions in terms of what we could do, so it was full speed ahead. And he wanted to bring a nationally recognized program to the University of Louisville with golf, and we were able to do that. And you know, obviously you go out and you recruit talented kids, you recruit good kids, and you develop them. And because of that, we had a lot of success. We've had some players on the PGA Tour, and I think I told you last week, following the British Open, the low amateur was a Louisville Cardinal. So special things happened. Very fortunate, very blessed.
That was Matthias Schmidt, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that's a young man that we recruited from Germany. He was a three-time All-American at the university and, you know, broke all of our records. And now he's a professional after having competed. His last event as an amateur was the British Open last week.
All right, we're talking with Mark Crabtree, rather, the former. We're talking about his days at Louisville right now. I wanted to just jump in here, Mark, real quick. The trajectory of what happened at Louisville, I mean, 2018-19, huge for you guys. You guys are able at Louisville to attract the regionals to come to Louisville. How big is that as far as being recognized and getting a program on the map to get a big event like that to come to your place?
Well, it's obviously a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of things spent, but it's absolutely unprecedented to be able to host when you've never done that and to be a part of the talk when it comes to hosting an NCAA tournament. And so it was a labor of love, obviously took a lot of people, but it's unprecedented when it happens to your school and a golf program. There's a lot of schools that we know that get to do it on a regular basis. But when a school has never hosted it and they get the opportunity, the NCAA is now saying, you know, you're worthy and you're a program that's deemed to be competitive enough that you can host, so that you can't put enough stock in what that means to a program to say, you know, we're hosting the NCAA championship.
That's awesome. And as you said, without leadership with a Tom Jurich, that just, you know, promotes it and makes it easier. Tell me one of his characteristics that made it so special for you coaches throughout the entire athletic department.
Oh, wow, that's a great question. Number one, let's talk about his loyalty to his coaches. I mean, he was just so loyal to the coaches that he brought on board. He presented a big vision. All the coaches bought into the vision, but he was so loyal to us and supportive of what we were doing. And then secondly, probably as important as anything, he gave us all the tools. He gave us all the resources. He gave us all the things we needed to be successful. And, you know, you're not successful if you don't have all those things. And, you know, I'll never be able to look back and say that Tom Jurich didn't provide everything that I needed to be a successful coach. And, again, whether that's facilities, whether that's a recruiting budget, whether that's a travel budget, whatever that is, Tom said, yes, we're all in. We're going 100%, and he's to be deserving of all the credit for that.
Well, he is recognized, obviously, as one of the best athletic directors throughout the nation by his peers as well, not just the people within Louisville, but, you know, by his peers. He was so, so well respected. We have about 1 minute. or so, Mark. But I know you have an event, and you're involved now with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and something dear to our hearts. But tell us about some upcoming things that you have going. And I'd like to touch a little bit. You're playing again, too, competitively. So if you can touch on those two things briefly.
Well, yes. Next Friday, August 6th, at Canvas Stadium on the campus of Colorado State, FCA Larimer County, Northern Colorado, is hosting a coaches' breakfast. And we're inviting all coaches, junior high, high school, college, whatever level you are. If you're a coach, we'd love to have you come and attend. It's no cost. And simply what FCA wants to do is to join forces with you as a coach, encourage you and help you and assist you in all the things that coaches need today as they coach. Coaching is a tough profession, and so FCA Northern Colorado wants to help, and it's an opportunity to come. If anybody is a coach and they're in the hear this, we'd love to have you come. Reach out to whomever, myself or others, to be a part of it. And then as far as the competition, Bruce, yeah, I'm still fortunate enough to be healthy enough, and so I'm back in the state and loving it here, and we're competing at the Colorado Golf Association and just loving the game of golf, you know, at a different stage in our lives.
Well, we're going to keep track, and we'll be having some more conversations, Mark, but we just can't thank you enough. And what an awesome run. And Clark, I'm going to let Clark wrap this up.
Yeah, I got to say, Mark, Lobo, I mean, we're talking about a Rocky Mountain Lobo, right?
Correct. Well, a Lampkin for 2 years.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, and then the Poudre School District changed those boundaries, and I told Bruce I lived a block on the south side, and I had to go to Rocky Mountain my senior year, the first graduating class. But very fortunate to be a graduate of Rocky Mountain High School.
Now, where are you going to land when you live out the rest of your days? Are you going to be back in Louisville, or are you coming back out here? What's that look like? Oh, you're here.
No, we're here. We moved here in October.
Fantastic.
I live at Highland Meadows in Windsor, and Northern Colorado is our home for the rest of our journey, and we just love being back and being a part of whatever leads our way this way.
Fantastic. I'm going to leave you with this. We do a ton of high school sports, number one radio station in the state for high school sports. So we're dealing with preps athletes, and I'm thinking golf is such a mental game. It's probably why it's the one game I can't play, but because of what goes on between the ears. But when you get those players who are coming from high school into the college ranks, Where do you learn that? Where do you become hardened between the ears that you can go and be competitive at the college level and maybe even at the pro level?
Well, you mean as a coach sharing with a student athlete?
You bet.
Well, it starts obviously with transforming the mind, and the coach has to be both an encourager, a disciplinarian. But positivity is unbelievably necessary in any game, but certainly in the game of golf where you play 18 different holes. And so you start to reframe the mind of the student athlete and that he can do it. He's going to have to work at it.
Sure.
He's going to have to dedicate himself, but you have to believe that you can do this. And I believe that's the biggest part of coaching, starting in that transition, is I bring a young man in from high school, and I want him to believe that he will be successful.
Wow, that is terrific stuff right there. Mark, thanks so much. We got to go.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on with us, and have a blessed day, okay?
You too. Thanks a bunch, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. There's Mark Crabtree, former golf coach at Louisville, at CSU. He's a Lobo. You got to love him for that. He's a Fort Collins guy. So good stuff right there. That was fun to catch up with him.
Sure was.
All right, we'll come back, wrap up the show. Kobe Bishop, he was a senior left-hander, if you remember, at Resurrection Christian. Junior year, won a state title. Runner-up, I think, as a senior. But then on to Augustana College, where he had two senior years, including last year. And now he's dipping his toes into the pros. What's it like to make that run from high school to the pros? We'll talk to Kobe Bishop when we come back in a moment. It's Clark and the Coach on a Wednesday here in Northern Colorado from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We're back in a moment on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK. All right, welcome back to the program from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, Clark and the Coach. And we get to it right now. Kobe Bishop, who was what most of us have never got to do, wins a state title, I think, as a junior at Resurrection Christian, the big left-hander, and then I think runner-up as a senior, and then on to Augustana College. So we'll talk about how Sioux Falls was. We've got about 5 minutes, so we don't have a ton of time with Kobe, but let's get to it. Kobe, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. Bruce has got a ton of questions. However, as radio goes, sometimes we go long in the first segments. So let's get to it, man. Always great to talk to an ex high school athlete from our area, man. Here's Bruce talking to you.
And Kobe, first of all, one of my favorite guys to coach in high school, not just that left-handed pitcher, but, you know, you were a pretty darn good backcourt guy for our basketball program, and always love having a lefty out there. But, you know, as Clark said, we're going to move along here. But, hey, take us through the journey, because you didn't just go to Augustana. There were some stops along the way. And tell us how you got there, starting with Concordia College.
Yeah, it's been a pretty incredible journey to where I'm at today. But, yeah, out of high school, wasn't obviously the biggest guy in the world out of high school. So I didn't get much attention from the bigger schools. So I went to an NAIA and Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska. Went there for a year, and then transferred to a junior college, Northeastern Junior College in Sterling, Colorado.
Yeah, NJC.
NJC. And then spent a year there because I met my eligibility for the AA degree. And then transferred to Division I school in New York City called Wagner College for 2 years. And got hurt my senior year. So I got a free transfer for my master's degree. And I transferred to Augustana University in Sioux Falls, who won the D2 National Championship in 2018. So it was really interesting to go to, like, a very winning program in Augustana University.
And then COVID hit. You get the extra year.
Yep.
And I remember a conversation you and I had, and I think my point was, Kobe, play as long as you can, you know, until somebody tells you can't play anymore, which you took great advantage of, okay? And talk about the transformation now from Augustana into your first pro contract.
Yeah, for sure. So I remember that text exchange between you and I. I was kind of on the fence because 6 years of school is a lot. And I went back, had an incredible year. My best year of college by far. Was one of the, like, captains of the pitching staff. And then great year, and then it led to where I'm at now with Kane County Cougars in Chicago. And it's been quite a transformation. It's definitely an adjustment period going from college where you know the team's going to be, you know, that team's going to be around you for a year at least, and then going to the professionals where you're joking around with a player and then the next day his locker's emptied out. That's probably the biggest adjustment.
Yeah, absolutely. And those that don't know about Kane County, you guys are kind of equivalent to AA with all the diminishing things that have gone in with minor league baseball. You've got some former major leaguers on your team, some former AAA, AA guys. So how is that first day you're meeting your team? What's going through your mind?
First day I showed up, actually Roger Clemens was there.
Oh, great.
And I walk up and I wanted to, like, in my head I'm like, oh, I'll be like, yo, what's up, Rocket, how you doing? But I saw him and I just froze. I didn't know what
he didn't
say,
throw a bat at, like, you, did he?
Right.
No, he didn't. He's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing was just trying to learn from all those guys who have kind of been there, done that in the affiliated program and in the MLB. And it's been a big learning curve, but it's always I know my pitching coach pitched in the bigs for a while with Greg Maddux. He was the closer for that team, that Atlanta Braves team that had that incredible pitching staff.
Sure.
So it's fun hearing their stories.
Well, Kobe, we're going to have to reconnect.
Yeah, let's catch up again.
Because there's so many different things. You know, we want to hear, you know, later on about the travel that you're going through, the long bus rides, the just all sorts of things. But I can't tell you how proud I am of you. Perseverance is a quality that not every human being has. And, wow, you're to be commended wherever it goes.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah. Hey, Kobe, I want to talk to you, too. We'll get you back on. I want to talk about going from Sterling to Staten Island. I mean, that's crazy across the country. So we'll get you back on. But thanks for giving us some time today.
Yeah, no worries. Anytime.
Thanks, Kobe.
All right, there's Kobe Bishop. Yeah, we could go half an hour with him talking about his trek from high school sports to all the way to the pros.
And he's a bright kid.
That's right.
You know, we didn't even talk about the degrees. He has two of them now.
All right, Clark and the coach today, thanks for jumping in with us, folks. Thank you to Steve Aggers, to Mark Crabtree, and, of course, Kobe Bishop. Tomorrow, an AD takeover. I'm just going to kind of hand it off to Dan Nabb.
And I'm not involved?
Nope, you're out.
Oh, that's right.
I'm out of here.
I am out of here.
We'll see you on Friday.
No more AD.
You got to come back Friday with me. But it should be fun tomorrow. Everybody get out there. Hug your kids today. Next up, it is the whole show, of course, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.